Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but I will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Yes. You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. Yes, the mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the juniper, and instead of briars, the myrtle will grow. This will be the Lord's renown for an everlasting sign that will endure forever. And I just feel like the Lord's saying, His thoughts are higher than our thoughts.
Yes,
and
Lord.
His ways are higher than ours. And, His word won't return to Him void. And that's why we're supposed to speak it out. We're supposed to declare the things of the Lord and declare them over our life and over our families and over our children.
Yes,
because it won't return to Him void. He's going to do something with it.
Thank you. Yes, Lord. Amen. Praise God.
You know, I was thinking about that the lyrics in that song also, about things that God has spoken into our lives. And there's somebody out here that needs to hear hear this, because God's spoken something into your life and it hasn't been fulfilled yet.
Mm-hmm.
But be patient, because it's in His timing, not our timing. I've had things that God has spoken into my life that it took 10 years for it to unfold. And so just be patient and stand on whatever it is that He's spoken to you.
Amen. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Ooh, yeah. Yes, sister, go ahead. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Thank you, Father.
Good morning. I'm going to try not to cry, but anyway, I just want to say this, and I feel so led to say this. Sometimes God takes you out. Sometimes you're away from anybody that you know, and you're out in the desert like He took Elijah.
Yeah.
And then when you're up on that mountain, He shows you who He is.
Yeah, come on.
And that is so my story.
Yes, Lord.
God has brought me and my husband out of Florida. We don't know anyone. This is our first time living anywhere but Florida. And God has brought us out here. We have no family.
Come on.
And He has showed us who He is. And I just want to encourage somebody or anybody that is out there and they feel like they're alone. And God has probably put you in a place to show you without crutches who He is.
Come on.
So I just want to encourage someone today, because that is my testimony, and He's still revealing who He is to me.
Yeah.
And I thank God.
Thank you. Praise God. Thank you, sister. Thank you, sir. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. Come on, somebody. Yes. Glory to God.
I got this Friday night. You know how the coronavirus is affecting everybody, and there's so much chaos, but Friday night, I just wrote this about it, because it just seemed like everything's going crazy. Amidst the chaos of today, please look to God and quietly pray. He has the answers on the way if we trust His word. No trouble is too great for Him, no worry worth the time. He numbered the hairs upon your head. He loves you. So let go and rest, because in God you are truly blessed.
Come on. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anybody else? Body ministry, amen? Hallelujah. I believe that God wants to use body ministry to talk to one another, that we speak what God is doing in our lives. Amen. Let's get out of that hole. Praise God. Can you just stand up one time with me? Let's just give God a praise. Let's just say thank you, Father, for all You've done. Let let your voice release a praise to our God this morning. Father, we thank you this morning. We thank you for what you're doing, God. We thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, we thank you, Father. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. Do you agree? Say amen and sit down. Shake somebody's hand before you sit down. Amen. Hallelujah. Say amen. Hallelujah. Woo. I love that last song we just sang. He has spoken. And I know that it is true. He has spoken. Amen. Hallelujah. The word of God says, and I think it's Psalm 91. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not what? It won't come near you. It can't come near you. And he says, no pestilence. The word of God says, no pestilence shall come nigh your dwelling. Where you live, no pestilence can come near your dwelling. You know what? I've been looking and watching this thing with coronavirus, and I sense God is saying something. He says, get a hold of me. Take a hold of what I've got, because the glory of the Lord will be seen all across the earth. Amen? I believe that God's glory will be the answer to whatever it is that's going on in the earth. Amen? How many of you believe that Jesus is the only answer? How many believe that? Do you really believe that? Yeah, I got six hands. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Yeah, man, I'm going to tell you, I'm one of those persons that I believe that Jesus is the only answer. There's no other answer but Jesus. Hallelujah. It's Him. He knows everything going on. He knows everything that we're doing. He knows it all. We can't do anything without Him. How do you know that? The Word of God says that, yeah. Amen. The Word of God says that if I was to remove my spirit, God says, no man would stand. Every person would die if God was to remove His spirit from this earth. Is that crazy? Because we have been created with a spirit, and that spirit is to be connected to God. God has a place for you. He's doing things for you, and He's trying to bring you into the realization that He's got everything under control. Is that okay? How many of you get nervous? How many like getting nervous? Does anybody like getting nervous? Come on. How many like just peace? How many just love peace? I just love to be at peace. I got up this morning. I was looking at the clouds. There was a light sprinkle. Beautiful morning. And I'm looking. I go, man, it's nice out here today, Lord. What do you want me to do? He says, you better get ready. It's time to go to church. Come on, man. I love the peace that passes all understanding. How many of you love that? I just love it. I love that I can stand in a place with God and say, you know what, God? No matter what I see with my eyes, no matter what I hear with my ears, I know that you are in control. How many know that? The Word of God says in Psalm 103, it says this. It says that the kingdom of God rules over all. God's kingdom rules over everything. Is that right? He's the head of all things. How many know that? He's the first and He's the last. And He's everything in between. How many know that? Hallelujah. So best put your trust in the Lord. Don't put your trust in how many times you go to church. Amen? Don't put your trust in what the pastor says. Amen? Put your trust in the Lord. That's the only place you need to place your trust, is trust God. Trust God. I'm going to trust God. I see this happening with my kids. I'm going to trust God. They're not doing what they're supposed to be doing. I'm going to trust God. Amen? How many of you know we like to correct things? We like to make the changes. We like to do the stuff that will make it right. Well, if God's not telling you to do it, maybe you ought to just leave it alone. Amen? Is that right? You ever had somebody tell you, leave it alone? Yeah? My mom used to tell me that all the time. Hey, Mom, did you get a new vase? Leave it alone. He said, okay. Hey, leave it alone. Hey, sometimes just say, hey, trust God. But allow God to do what He wants to do. Amen? Amen. If He wants to bring you from Florida, trust God. Amen, sister? Thank you for that testimony. Hallelujah. I believe God is doing some great things. Our sermon today is called Exit Strategy. Hallelujah. How many of you know that you got to have an exit strategy? Is that right? No? No? You do. something happens, there's a door over here, there's two doors back here, there's a door out that other end, there's a door on this other. That's an exit strategy. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I've heard people say, well, exit strategy can be a financial thing where you know how to get out of or get into certain businesses or whatever. It can also be an exit strategy. I'm having trouble saying it. Where, you know, hey, man, make sure your will is complete and you know, you don't want to leave a mess for your children because they will be fighting. Is that right? Have you ever seen somebody fighting over something that's been there where their parents have died and now they're fighting over it? Amen. How many of you ever seen that? It's not a very nice sight, is it? It's not good. So exit strategy. Well, this exit strategy we're going to talk about is something that I believe that God is speaking to the body of Christ about for today. I believe, my belief is today that we are speaking the things of God for a generation, and I believe the generation is actually here even now, that this generation is going to be hearing some things where they're going to be so convinced that the Word of God is the most powerful thing in their life that they will walk and not be weary, they will run and not faint. How many of you believe that? I believe the Word of God will do that to you. We've been looking at prophets, is that right? We've been looking at, well, 2 weeks ago, I spoke on how Elijah hid his face in his mantle to pray, to hear God's voice. He didn't cover his face to see the earth. He didn't, when he saw the earthquake and the wind breaking the rocks, he didn't cover his face. Then when the fire came, he didn't cover his face. But when he heard a still small voice, that voice, the voice of the Lord speaking directly into his heart, he grabbed his mantle and he covered his face. He wrapped his face up so that he might concentrate and focus on what God is saying. How many know we need to do that today? We need to be so focused on what God is saying in our lives, because if we're not, you will be taken off course by anything and everything. Is that okay? That's not okay. God wants you to hear him, and he's still, you know, how many know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? Do you know that? Do you realize that? Do you realize that he will speak to you, but it will take you paying attention? How many say amen? Amen. You got to pay attention. Got to focus in on what God is trying to say to you, because we are living in a world, listen, that if God allows you to, if you begin to hear his voice, you will begin to move out in the areas where God has for you. These are the things that God is trying to do to the body of Christ. We've been comfortable about sitting in the church and not doing anything but showing up on Sunday. And I'm good with that, except for the fact I am here to build and to strengthen the body of Christ. That's why God has called me into this thing. I've been talking to the Lord. I said, Lord, why did you pick me? Why me? Why me, God? I don't got what it takes. I don't think I got what it takes. Well, he says, the reason I picked you is because you will speak what I'm asking you to speak. I said, okay, I'll tell them what you're saying to me. That's all I can do. Amen? Is that all? That's all I can do. Hey, for you to change and all these other things, it's between you and him. It is the Holy Spirit that does the changes. When we have a teacher, when we have our pastors speaking and the teachers, what God is saying to them, they're giving to you so that you might be strengthened and build up. Hey, not everybody likes the same thing. How many know that? But can I tell you something? We need to be available to God. We need to have our hearts in a place where we can say, hey, you know what, God? I want to do whatever you want to do. Holy Spirit, I want to do what you want to do. I don't want to do anything else, Lord. It's you. It is all about you, Lord. Show me your ways. Show me your ways. Thank you for that scripture this morning. His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And how do you get to his thoughts? The Word of God says to humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. You humble yourself. You put your things away and allow him to flow into you. And then he begins to show you those things that are his thoughts and his cares. I don't know. I don't know how many times I've been through the Word of God, but every time I go through the Word of God, God shows me something different. He gives me something new. There's so much in the Word of God, folks. Can I tell you this? that you cannot get bored. Well, I was a youth pastor for 15 years. I mean, I've heard, Bible is boring. Boring? You're kidding me. Maybe I'm boring, but God's not boring. Can I tell you that? God's not boring. He will show you got a hungry heart, go after it. I remember a song used to sing, if you want it, come and get it. We're crying out loud. If you want it, come and get it. That's what God would be saying. If you want it, you want what I've got for you, come and get it. Grab a hold of it. Can I tell you, you won't be disappointed if you do that. Amen? Allow him to show you what he has for you. Oh. He's the head. He's the head. He's the boss. Amen? Jesus gave his life for us. He paid for us. It is so, so important that we listen to what he is telling us personally. Amen? Praise God. I'm going to take you to the word of God. Hallelujah. Woo. I feel, hallelujah. We're going to talk a little bit about an exit strategy. Glory to God. If you will, open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word, Father. Thank you for what you're doing in our lives, God. I thank you, Lord, for the working of your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, we honor you this morning. Thank you for being in this building. Thank you for, God, for... thank you, Holy Spirit, for explaining, for opening, for showing things out of your word, Father. Father, we want nothing less than what you want to give us this morning. Nothing less. For each and every heart that's in the building, Lord, I'm asking that you give them what they are looking for this morning. Spirit of God, speak to their hearts. Thank you for it, God. In Jesus' name, if you agree, say amen. 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 Praise God. Hallelujah. Man. I almost called Pastor John. Hey, you know, I'm not going to come in today. I'm going to stay. I'm going to watch the rain. Praise God. Yeah, the word of 2 Kings chapter 2 says, it came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. And I like this. When Elijah was down because there was a crazy woman who wanted to take his head off. Remember that? Her name was Jezebel. She wanted to kill him. She says, I'm going to kill you, Elijah. So he left town. He's running, and he runs all the way to the Mount of God, and that's where God speaks to him. He says, I want you to go, and I want you to anoint Elisha, the son of Shaphat, to be the prophet in your stead. It actually says in your room in the King James. He says, to be the prophet in your room. How many of you know we all need prophets in our room? Is that right? Amen. Do you know that you're the prophet of your room? Do you know that? Do you know what God speaks to you? You speak that out. What you find in God's word, speak it out. By his stripes, I've been healed. Hallelujah. Nothing shall by any means, just whatever you find in his word, speak it out, speak it out, speak it out. You're the prophet in your room. But he tells Elijah, go find Elisha. He is going to be the prophet that takes your place. So Elijah leaves the mountain of God and goes. Elijah had been on a 40-day fast when he got to that mountain. And God spoke very clearly to him, very quietly and very clearly. Hallelujah. I love it. And so I just want to go back to first, hold that place right there in 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 1. And we'll go back to 1 Kings chapter, I think it's, 19. And I want to read 19 through 21. Because this Elisha is now connected with Elijah. But he says, so Elijah departed from there and found Elisha, the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee. And he said unto him, go back again, for what have I done to you? And he returned back from him, took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose and went after Elijah and ministered unto him. I just want to remind you that this is the man that God had picked to take Elijah's place, the prophet. Elijah the prophet, this is the man that he had. What he found him doing was plowing. How many of you guys have ever plowed in your life? Has anybody here ever plowed, even on a mechanical tractor? Have you? Nice. I mean, is it work? Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Plowing is work, especially back in those days. Amen. It is work. I mean, these guys are dragging a plow. Come here, Brother Abe. I'm just gonna get it. Oscar, come here. Jason, I need you too. Come here, man. We're going to pull a plow. Come on, man. Come here, man. Where's that? Come here. You're a horn. You're an ox. Come here. Yeah. Yeah. Now you got to turn around. Take it with one hand. You turn around. You take it with this hand. Okay. Now here we go. We find Elisha plowing with his oxen. Go ahead, boys. Come on. Let's see how the oxen look. Yeah. Come on. You got to do a little noise. Yeah. Come on. No. Now. Come on. See it. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. Come on, Elisha. Make him turn around, Elisha. Turn him around. Get him. Go the other way. Oh, there you go. They're looking good. Man, those guys. Hey, come on, man. Now go on all the way back down to him. We're plowing. And Elisha's plowing away with these oxen. All right. Just plowing away. Just plowing away. Got no idea. Keep plowing. Keep turning around plowing. Can I tell you something? When God's looking at people, he's looking that people will work. God's looking at people for people that will work. I mean, let's everybody say work. Work. Can I tell you, work is important to God. If he sees a man that is faithful in his work, keep plowing. Keep plowing. Come on, yeah, come on. If he sees a man is faithful in his work, God says, I'm going to use that. I can use that man. I can use that man because he's not slothful. Amen? He is a plower. Amen? Keep plowing. You come on, yeah. Hey, there's a word of God. Hey, is that a heavy yoke? Hey, I'm talking to the oxen. You guys, is that a heavy yoke? No. Yeah, see, Jesus said my yoke is light. Amen? Come on, you got to throw that in there. So. But look, here, Elijah is, you know what? We're going to switch this up. You come plow. You come pull. There you go. Yeah, let's do that a little bit. Come on. Keep on going. Here we go. We're going again. Yeah. Just slow them down a little bit. Yeah. Pull them back. Yeah. Yeah. Here they are. Plow. Here he is plowing away. Just pushing. That thing is tearing up the earth. Amen. Is pulling rocks up and bouncing around. Everything going on. Hallelujah. You take that plow. You run the plow. Jason, you didn't do so good. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. Come on, man. Hallelujah. Praise God. And these guys are plowing. These guys are plowing. Yeah, there you go. That's what we're looking for. Yeah. Hey, these guys are working. Yeah, come on. There you go. There you go. Turn them things. Oh, where are we going the wrong way? Come on. All right. Praise God. All right, you got to stop, man. That's cool, man. That's good. They're plowing away. Plowing away. Anyway, give my hand for the demonstration of the plow. I just want to just say this. There comes a time when there will be a transfer of authority. And there is a reason why I pulled these three young men up here. Because we need to realize that there can be a transfer of authority. Is that right? Is that right, Pastor? Is that right, Pastor Eli? There will be a transfer of authority. And these three young men, we you know, We look at them, they're around us all the time. But folks, can I just say this? We need to honor one another. Know that God is not done in this building, that God is going to be building and strengthening. Do you realize that? Do you know that? So here he finds him plowing, and he says, you know what, Elijah, let me first go and kiss my mom and my dad. Here's another point. The man that honors his mother and his father, God's looking at. He's got his eye on. Can I tell you that? Because he honors his mom and his dad. And here this man is saying, hey, you know what? Elijah, I'm your man. Because what Elijah, oh, I missed this part. But what Elijah did, he did this to them. He did this to Elisha. He put his mantle upon him. And that man felt the anointing. Elijah didn't say anything, because Elijah tells him later, what did I do to you? Go tell your mom and dad. Yeah, you want to come with me? Go tell mom and dad. What did I do to you? Elisha, for sure, he knew what he did to him. He said, man, I felt something. Something happened to me, so much so he went and told mom and dad, and then he went back, and then, well, he went and he sacrificed. Yeah, see, the Bible says he was plowing with 12 oxen. Is that right? Does that mean he had 12 oxes? No, there was 12 men out there plowing. He just happened to be one of them. The Bible says that he was the last one, and that's the one that Elijah was looking for. He goes, that's Elisha right there, and I'm going to, and he threw his mantle on him, and when he threw his mantle on him, Elisha knew, because what he did, he went back, and he sacrificed his oxen. Should have done that, huh, with the kids. Yeah, show them the sacrifice. Yeah, he sacrificed it, burnt the wood of the plow, and said, I'm off. Can I say, it's the same thing. It's the same dimension that we're looking at. God is telling, I want you to rest. When you move into the work of the Lord, you step into a rest. Is that right? Because now it's not you anymore. It's him doing it. It's all him. And this is what Elisha's doing. He burns his tools of work, and he steps back, and he steps into the ministry with Elijah. Isn't that cool? That's cool. I love it. And that's where we're at now. Elisha and Elijah are walking around. They're becoming, see, he was a servant of Elijah. Elisha was Elijah's servant. Can I tell you how hard this is to preach this? Because of these two names that are so close. Elijah had a servant, his name was Elisha. And Elisha was now connected to him to do those things that he needed as a man of God. So here they're walking, and the word of God says in this first verse that God was planning to take him up in a whirlwind. Isn't that crazy? In a whirlwind. I tell you, Elijah and Enoch are probably a couple of guys that I like looking at. Because they stepped into something that's so different, so out of this world. How many of you know that? They left the planet without dying. Isn't that cool? How many are excited about dying? How many are excited about living? How about you? How many are excited about life and life more abundant? How many are excited about that? Hallelujah. And so looking at that, this is an exit strategy. But let's go. Let's just read on about these guys, okay? So Elijah said to Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Bethel. And Elisha said to him, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. And the sons of the prophets that were at Bethel came forth to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? Do you know this, Elisha? Elisha said, yea, I know it. Hold your peace. In other words, he told him, hey, be quiet. I know it. Elijah knew it. And Elijah said unto him, Elisha, tarry here, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho. And he said, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you. Can I tell you, part of the things about receiving from God is a stick-to-itiveness. How many of you guys like that word? Sticking to it. Staying with it. Elisha knew that he was the servant of Elijah. And I'm sure Elijah said, you know, God has told me to anoint you to take my place. So Elisha says, you're not leaving me, bro. I'm going with you. No matter where you go, I'm going to be with you. I'm going to stick with you. I'm going to hold to you. Can I tell you something? You got to hold to the word of God. When God says something to you, hold on to it. Don't turn loose of it. Allow yourself to step into that, what God is saying to you. But here he says, now, I'm going with you. You're not going to leave me here. As the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they came to Jericho. And the sons of the prophets that were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, knowest thou that the Lord will take away thy master from thy head today? And he answered, yeah, I know it. Hold your peace. And Elijah said unto him, tarry, I pray thee. Seems like Elijah's trying to get rid of him, don't it? But Elijah's doing something. He said, Elijah said to him, tarry, I pray thee, for the Lord has sent me to Jordan. And he said, as the Lord lives and as thy soul lives, I will not leave you. And they too went on. Elisha's pretty stubborn, isn't he? Nope. I'm going to stay with you, Elijah. Verse 7 says, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood to view afar off, and they too stood by the Jordan. And Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, and smote the waters. Hither and thither. How do you like those words? Smote the water hither and thither. Here and there, he smote the water. And they too went over dry ground. What does it mean when they went over dry ground? What does that mean? It parted. And when Elijah hit the water, can I tell you the earth is anxious? Listen to this. This is crazy. It's kind of off the path of where I'm at, but it's still the truth. The earth is anxious to respond to men and women of God. Do you know that? The earth is waiting. The word of God says in Romans 8 that the earth groans and travails for the manifestation of the sons of God or the daughters of God, whatever you want to say. God, the earth even waits for men and women of God to show up. He smites this thing and the earth says, what do you want? I'm going to stop. And the Bible says that both of them went over on dry ground. The Jordan's not a very big river, but it's a river. They could have probably splashed through it. But the prophet says, no, I don't want to get my feet wet. I just bought these sandals and I'm headed for heaven. And who knows how how that chariot ride is going to be. I don't know if I'll have bucket seats or what, man. He says, so I'm not getting wet. And he hits that thing and the water splits and they walk over on dry ground. Have we got there yet? Yes. Verse 9 says, and it came to pass when they were gone over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask what I shall do for you before I be taken away from you. And Elisha said, I pray thee, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Even Elisha says right after, that's a tough thing, my friend. Can I tell you what determines a double portion in your life? It's you. How big is your desire to have God in your life? Because the Bible says that he gives us the Spirit without measure. As much as you want, you can have. That's what it says. We sing songs about more. Give me more. I want more. How many of you want more? How many of you want more of the Spirit of God? How many desire, or how many are just, well, I've got enough. Meh. Can I tell you something? Our nation needs us to have more. Can I say that to you? Our neighbors need us to have more. We need to have more of the Spirit of God operating in our life. No matter what's going on, we say, Lord, I need more of you, more of you, more of you. You remember that song? More of you. I've got all, but what I need is more of you. Lord, I need more of you. Amen? Hallelujah. More of that Spirit of God. Because Elijah tells him this. He said, thou hast asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken from you, it shall be so unto thee. But if not, it shall not be so. How's your focus on what you want from God? How is it? Elijah, are you focused enough to watch me leave? Are you focused enough? Man or woman of God, are you focused enough to allow God to pour more into your life? Are you staying in God's word? Are you doing what he said? Are you praying? Are you entering into your closet and saying, God, I need more. I need to speak to you. Lord, will you speak to me? Will you show me what I need to do concerning this? Because we all have these little things. How many of you say amen? We all have little things. And God is interested in those little things. Because the Bible says, and it doesn't say it in... And this is my Catholic part coming out. How many of you guys remember? Is it okay if I tell you a scripture in the Catholic Bible? Are you guys okay? No? Don't say it? I won't say it. Okay. Well, in the Catholic Bible, and I don't even know where it's at, though, but I'll have to find it. But it says, many foxes spoil the vine. Many foxes spoil the vine. Can I tell you little tiny things, little thing here, little thing, a busted toe, you know, a headache, you know, you get car got hit. Many little tiny things begin to take joy out of your life. Spoils the vine. Is that right? And God's saying, no. He says, but hold on to me. Know this, that I see every one of those things and I will take you through them. I will. How many of you remember when being sick or something years ago was such a big thing to you and now it's nothing? I remember having allergies so bad, getting what they call sinus infections. I'd get a sinus infection almost two or three times a year because with a snoz like mine, it's easy. Your head takes in everything. Yeah, some of you won't even hear. But I tell you, finally one day, somebody had said, hey, smell those. Don't those roses smell good? I can't smell one. I got close to it. I couldn't smell. I said, Lord, that ain't right. I should be. He says, yeah, I paid for that for you. Don't you know that? By my stripes, you are healed, Henry. Woo, come on, man. You know what? Since that time, I have not had a trouble with a sinus infection. Because I hold to the word of God, and I believe the word of God, and I go after the word of God. Amen? Come on, hallelujah. So he says, I'm going to give you a door. He says, if you see me taken, you'll receive what you've asked for. Keep looking for what you've asked for. Is that right? Don't give up on what you've asked for. Say, Lord, show it to me. Show me what you want to say to me. Show me the words. I like, this is probably a very favorite verse. It says, and it came to pass, they still went on and talked, that behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and horses of fire and parted both them asunder. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. Isn't that cool? Is that neat? Do you know that if you talk to a guy from NASA, let's say NASA, right? If you told him this story, he'd say, that's impossible. Man cannot survive. Once he got out of this atmosphere, he'd be a dead duck. Is that right? Probably some doctors tell you that's just not true, man. You can't get that high on the earth. But the word of God tells us that this thing happened. Is that right? Elijah was taken by a chariot into the heavens where God was. That's what the word of God says. God sent his heavenly Uber, right? What's the other one called? Lyft? Lyft. Sent that heavenly Uber, picked him up, and took him. And Elisha's on the watching the whole thing. I believe that Elijah's looking down. He sees Elisha down there. Ooh. Takes off his mantle and lets it drop. Amen? See, that wasn't Elijah's plan. That was the Lord's plan. The Lord had told Elijah to anoint him. Anoint him. Let him. He's going to be the prophet in your place. Hallelujah. It came to pass as they still went on and talked that, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire, horses of fire, and parted them both that separated them. And Elijah went by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elijah saw it, and he cried, my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. Holy place. You figure, man, this is a God moment. Tears his clothes. That's the humbling of the man of God. Amen? That's what that was. He's humbling himself. And then he says, and he took up also the mantle of Elijah that fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. Now he's looking and he goes, now I watched this guy. I saw what he did. He took his mantle off and he hid it. He goes, I've got his mantle right here. And he took the mantle of Elijah that fell on him and smote the waters and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? What kind of a statement is that? What was that? God was saying, when he's, okay, God, where are you? And the word of God says that the water split and it opened for him. And there was these guys that were watching. Remember, he had some looky-loos on him. Remember that? He had the paparazzi on him. And he says, and when the sons of the prophet, and when the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, the spirit of Elijah does rest on Elisha. And they came to meet him and bound themselves to the ground before him. And they said to him, behold, now there be with thy servants 50 strong men. Let them go, we pray thee, and seek thy master, lest peradventure the spirit of the Lord has taken them up and cast them upon some mountain or into some valley. Isn't that crazy? They say, hey, man, you know what? We probably ought to go look for him because maybe God dropped him somewhere. He took him up there, but maybe he fell out. There's no seatbelts. Could have happened. And then he said, verse 17, he says, and they urged him till he was ashamed. Can I tell you, people will urge you and push you and push you, try to do something for them that they think that you need to do. How many of you know that? In this kingdom operates by the word of God. How many say amen to that? It operates by the leading of the Spirit. Not the pulling the Spirit along. Come on, God, come with me. Come with me because I'm going to do this. See, God doesn't operate that way. God operates by the leading of the Spirit. We operate by the leading of the Spirit. You wait for God. How many say amen to that? How many know it's dangerous to step out before God tells you to go? Is that right? Peter never stepped out of the boat. I don't know how many times I got to say it. Peter never stepped out of the boat until Jesus said, okay, come. Peter was asking Jesus, let me walk on the water. Jesus was saying, yeah, it's about time you ask that. But he never got out of the boat till Jesus said, come. That's the same with us. There is wisdom in waiting on God. How many know that? Do you know that? There is wisdom in allowing God to take you, to guide you, to lead you. The last church I was at, I never left until the Lord said, it's time to go. Give him this date. And I got the date, and I spoke it to my pastor, and they said, okay. I never left until I had the Lord say, time to go. And from that church, I went to another church with Brother David, and this brother, man, in the middle of his sermon, he says, you're a pastor, and you're not a minor. You need. And I said, you're crazy. I don't want to do that. But here I am, pastoring a church, because it was the leading of the Lord. And I totally believe this. This is what I believe that God. This was what. Watch this. There are some mysteries that are revealed in this thing. How many know that? In this story, God is revealing some mysteries about Him, and I just want you to look at some of these mysteries. And if you will, Amos chapter 3, verse 7. Now, you know, I'm going to bring this up. The Lord reveals. Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he reveals his secret to servants, the prophets. How many say amen to that? How many believe this scripture? Can I tell you, it's the word of God. God will do nothing, but he reveals it first to the servants, the prophets. Can I tell you that you have the spirit of the most high prophet? Can I tell you that Jesus is within you? He lives in you. He will lead you and he will guide you by his spirit. Allow him to do that. That's what the scripture is telling. You will do nothing. God will do nothing until he reveals it by his spirit. Isn't that cool? His secret. Deuteronomy chapter 29:29 says this. Check this out. The secret things belong to the Lord our God. How many say amen to that? You know, how many know that God's got secret things? Do you know that? God's got secrets. He's got secrets about you. There are things that are within you that you don't even know about. It's a secret right now, but God wants to reveal it to you. He wants to show you. He wants to bring you to it. And it says right here, the secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to, I love this, belong to us and to our children, right? Forever. And then he says that we may do all the words of the law. Can I tell you that Jesus did all the words of the law? Jesus fulfilled the law, the Bible says. So it's everything that God has for us, it's already within us, being carried by the Spirit of God that's in there. Is that cool? That's a cool thing. I think it's cool. I love it. I actually say to the Lord, I said, Lord, I've been digging around in some of these scriptures. I want to know what you're saying. Will you tell me what you're saying? Will you show me what you mean by this? Why am I being so attracted to this scripture here? Because I don't get it. And you know what's crazy? God will begin to reveal those things to you. You got to speak to him the way he wants. You got to just speak to him. Say, Lord, I don't know nothing. You need to show me. I don't know. How many say I don't know nothing? See, you know there's a lot of people that know everything. How many know that? Is that right? There's a lot of folks out there, man. They say, man, well, you know, this is the way it is. You know, well, that's because of this. And then you say something, well, that's because of that. I mean, you know, and I like what Job and his three friends, and God looks at Job, and, you know, finally God shows up in a whirlwind. Amen? Shows up in a whirlwind, and he tells Job, he says, man, Job, I didn't realize you were such a smart guy. Where were you when I was creating the universe? I needed you. Where were you when I formed the earth and set it upon nothing? Where were you? I needed you, Job. You're so smart. How many say amen? Come on. How many know we don't know anything? We really don't know anything about our God. We really have such a short, small glimpse of who he is and what he's trying to do. Right. Woo! That's why it's so important you stay in God's word. He has designed this thing. He's put the books together. These are the ones that are going to be in this book. And boom, there it is. Stay in it. That's all he's asking. You don't need anything else. Amen? Oh, man. Somebody said, whoa. Oh, well, we got to have this. We got to have that. Come on, man. We got to have the Jewish thing. We got to. You know, I like looking at the Hebrew, and I love doing that. But the word of God that God has provided for us, it will take us into everything we need. How many say amen to that? Because it's not a natural book. It is a spiritual book. It is a book that God has written and given. Amen? Men and women of God were the unction came on them to write these things. And God, that's what's going on. Isn't that cool? Whew. I don't even know how I got to that. But let me just say this. There are so many secret things, but there's some secrets in this thing. One of the secrets is obedience. And Elijah was being obedient to God. Can I tell you, the Bible says they were in Gilgal, and God said, I want you to go to Bethel. Bethel is about 18 miles away from Gilgal. It's an 18-mile walk. Was it 18? No, it was 12 miles. 12-mile walk to Bethel. So Elijah tells Elisha, hey, stay here, man. I'm going to go. He said, no, I'm going with you. So they walk over there. They go to Bethel. And they're in Bethel. And here, Elisha hears God say to him, I want you to go to Jericho. Okay. So they go back to Jericho. Can I tell you, Jericho was a 3-mile trip from Gilgal, from where they started. But isn't it funny that God would say, I want you to go here. And then he said, I want you to go here. I want you to see, it's called the leading of the Lord. It's a simple thing. I remember my son. My son was playing music in his bedroom, and he's bouncing on the keyboard. And I'm concerned about his grades. It's his senior year, and I asked Rosie, did he do his homework? She goes, I don't know. He was playing that thing when I got home. So I go bang on the door, finally had to open the door and yell at him, Jonathan. He had his back to me, turns around, he's got his eyes, he's crying. And he's like, come on in here, Dad, God's in here, God's in here. I said, ooh, I better stop that. I said, nah, never mind, I'll talk to you later. When he came out, I asked him, what did God tell you? He says, I don't want to tell you, Dad. I said, no, what did he tell you? He says, he's going to take me. He's going to take you. What do you mean? You're going to die or what? And he goes, no. God says he's going to take me to a city. I said, really, what city? And he goes, Dad, I don't know. I don't want to tell you. And I said, well, come on, son. Where is he going to take you? He says, Hollywood. I said, Hollywood? 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 You know, you get all those things. You know, and he goes, Dad, that's exactly why I didn't want to tell you, Dad. That's why, right there. That's what's happening. I said, I'm sorry, man. I said, why Hollywood? He says, I asked the Lord that too. And he said, because Hollywood touches the world. And praise God. The man he was with, the evangelist he had been working with, calls me up one day and he tells me, he says, Henry, he says, I just want to talk to you a little bit. He goes, the Lord wants me to start a church. And this was a year later. I said, really? A church? Yeah. And I said, let me just ask you a question. Is it in Hollywood? And he stayed real quiet on the other side of the phone. And he goes, did the Lord tell you that? I said, no, my son did. He goes, that's exactly what he goes. So the Lord's already. Yeah, I said, the Lord's already setting this thing up. So, and then he was over there. I don't know. Remember, Rosie's in the back. But Rebecca, you remember how long he was here before he went to 3 years, 2 years? 4 or 5 years, he's over in California, and then he calls me up, he says, Dad, he goes, can you take next week off? I said, sure, why, what's going on? He goes, I thought he wanted me to go fix his vehicle. And he goes, not that, he goes, I've got a U-Haul loaded, I am going to North Carolina. I go, what, North Carolina? I said, who's in North Carolina? He goes, I don't know, God. I don't know, Dad, the Lord tells me he wants me in Charlotte, North Carolina. I go, what? So I took the next week off, took him over there, paid for rent for him to stay there for. I say, if God doesn't give you something within 3 months, all your junk's going to stay here, and I'll send you a airline ticket so you can get home. He said, Dad, God wants me here. And see, this young man was hearing from God. He's hearing God speak. I want you over here. I want you over there. Here, Elijah's, because man, you know, Elijah is not only an obedient prophet, but he's a man that seeks God. So let's look at the scripture out of obedience. I just want you to see, if you just look at obedience, this is the first, one of the secrets that God has shown. He says, hey, man, if you're obedient, being obedient to what he says. Obedience, it says, if you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. How many say amen to that? How many of you want to eat the good of the land? How many of you want to eat what God has placed within you? How many of you want that? I mean, God has stuff for you. The next one is, I want you to look at this, is the next secret is waiting on the Lord. So you put that, wait on God. Here's Psalm 37. Here's Elijah was a man that waited on God. And he says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt you to inherit the land. How many say amen to that? How many of you know that he has called his people to be above all the nations of the earth? Do you know that? In Deuteronomy, it says that he has called his people to be above all the nations of the earth. Is that all right? Is that okay with you? Because it's his people that should know how to run the planet. Is that okay? Can I tell you, God's not into country running. He's into planet running. He's into running this thing he calls his footstool. The thing that he says the heavens are his throne, and the earth is his footstool, and it is the people of God that he's placed within their hand the ability to run this. Is that okay? That's cool, man. Hallelujah. So it says here, wait on the Lord, keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, you will see it. Is that okay? You'll see it. You'll see it when the wicked are cut off. Wait on the Lord. One of the things about waiting on the Lord, what do you kind of not like the most about waiting on God?
Waiting.
It's the waiting, huh? It's the time frame. How long do I got to wait? How many times do I got to ask you, God? How many of you ever said that to him? How many, God, I've asked you to show me. I said, show me, Lord. You're not showing me nothing. What's going on, God? What's happening? Look at this scripture. It says, the next one is, a secret is waiting patiently. Is that right? Wait patiently on the Lord. Here's what it says. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. How many of you believe that? How many of you know that? How many have experienced that? I've experienced this scripture right here. I waited patiently. I waited. I made no decisions. I waited. And he heard my cry. And then rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices. Wait on the Lord patiently. Is that right? How many, everybody say patiently? With patience. Patience. You know what patience is? The word for patience, the Greek word for patience is hupomone. And it means a constant standing and abiding under. Under what? Under a promise. Under something that God has said to you. A constant waiting. Did God say, I mean, does not the word of God says, ask and it shall be given? If you ask him to know something, he's going to give it to you. Just patiently wait for him. Just stay under that umbrella of what God's word has told you. This is what he said. I'm going to do this. I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait. And I'm going to wait patiently. Amen. Praise God. I'm sorry. Is it getting late? No, we still got 2 hours. Praise God. I thought I'd wake you up for that. The other thing, one of the other things is the transfer of power. We talked a little bit about this, the transfer of power, how Elijah said, Elisha told Elijah, I want a double portion of the Spirit of God that's upon you and your life. And there's a transfer of power. Can I tell you, this whole thing points to what's in our lives. How many of you know that there's a transfer of power? God has transferred his power from the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that right? Ooh, come on. The power that the Lord had, he's transferred it to you. He says it this way, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses both unto me, both in Jerusalem, Judea, and in Samaria, and under the uttermost parts of the earth. And say, these witness, you will be a witness for him. How do you witness? How will you witness? It could be signs and wonders, healings, and all these other things. Can I tell you, the world needs it? How many say amen to that? The world needs it. Everybody say, look at your neighbor, say, the world needs it. Look at the other one, say, I need it. Come on, man. Hallelujah. There's a mighty transfer of power. The Holy Spirit has been given to us. Given to us. To those, wait, I should probably say this, huh? To those that will receive him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. You've got to be willing to receive what God is trying to give you. And when you get it, oh my goodness, come on. Katie, bar the door. God, I mean, hey, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Amen? Nothing can stop you. You're more than a conqueror. Hallelujah. Now we get to where Elijah exits. He's taken up. And I want to read this First Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17. Hallelujah. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain under the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. How many like this scripture? What's it describing? Talking about getting out of here, amen? Talking about rapture, talking about an exit plan. Is that right? How many like this exit plan? Yeah, come on, man. I said, this is exit plan number one. I also have exit plan number one with Enoch, exit plan number one with Elijah, the way these guys exited the planet. Can God do anything he wants to do? Can he? The Bible says what is impossible with God, I'm sorry, what is impossible with man is impossible with what? Is possible with God. Is that right? I think that's right. Up on the wall it says, with God, all things are possible. How many say that? Amen. Can God pull the whole body of Christ off the earth at one time? Can he? Yeah, of course he can. Can he bring Elijah off the earth and into the heavens without hurting him, without seatbelts? Can he take Enoch, who walked with him, where Enoch could just walk right into heaven and never come home? Can he do that? Can God do that? Absolutely, he can. How many How many of you are how many of you like waiting on this promise? How many of you like it? Sometimes we don't, huh? God, oh man, things are going so bad for me right now. God, why don't you just rapture us? That's the way out, man. Amen. Sometimes we want to do that with God. Say, God, when's that going to happen? When's that going to happen? How many of you know there's a lot of folks that have said, hey, it's going to happen on this month. It'll happen on this date. How many of you have heard that? Anybody heard that? You know, there's been those groups out there that say, hey, man, they sold all their stuff, sold their houses, sold everything, got rid of it, quit their jobs, and guess what? Didn't happen. Didn't happen. Amen? Do you think God's into that? I don't think so. The Word of God, Jesus even told us, the hour and the time, no man knows. Is that right? Nobody knows about when this event is going to happen. I believe it will happen. I believe because Jesus described it. Paul, the apostle, is speaking about it. I believe it's going to happen. I do believe it's true. But I believe that Christians are putting too much emphasis on looking for that thing when they're not looking at what God is trying to say to them today. The Word of God says today is the day. Today is the day of salvation. Is that right? Today. I believe this. I've been telling you, I love this. I love this thing. I do. But I do not spend my time looking. Can I just say this something? Watch this. We have a tendency to look around the world and say and use those things and say, this is what's going to bring the rapture. This right now, the way the world is. Can I tell you, when World War II started, they thought the rapture was right around the corner because it's got to happen now. Look at all the nations are battling against each other, all these things. You know what? We're making a big mistake. We're looking at the world around us when we're not looking at the church. The church is the key to rapture. It really is. Watch this. I'm going to show you why. This is Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 13. I don't know. Some of you are getting quiet. I hope I'm not losing all of you. But I'm going to tell you something. We're talking about an exit plan, God getting us off the earth. Here's what he says. But this man, talking about Jesus, this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Amen? What does that sat down mean? What do you do when you say, it's a rest, isn't it? I'm entering some rest. And then he says this, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. Cool. Do you like that? He's expecting for his enemies to be made his footstool. Does not the word of God say that Jesus defeated all of our enemies? Isn't that right? But see, the body of Christ is here to implement what Christ has done on the earth. That's why he said, he goes, I go to my Father. I will send my Spirit to you so that we might implement what Jesus Christ has done for us. We've been so used to looking at the world around us where actually the church is the trigger for the rapture. Because when every enemy, it's what he says right here, sitting down at the right hand of God from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. We are the ones that are to enforce the authority of God over the enemies in the earth. Is that okay? Do you understand that? And then the rapture is going to happen. So what I like to say this morning is that we take a lot of time and getting upset. Sometimes we get upset with one another. We fight with one another. We say things to one another that hurt each other's feelings. And can I just say this, that God's not into that? God is saying, hey, look, I have bought you with a price. You are my workmanship. Do you know how many say amen to that? You are his workmanship. Well, I'm going to show it to you. Bring it up. This is Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. It says, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Now I'm getting on you a little bit here now, okay? I'm going to get on you. It's under good works. God is trying to get good works not only to you but through you. Do you understand that? You're going to have to rest. You're going to have to take a break. and sit down with God and say, God, what are you saying to me? Allow, speak to me, Lord. What do you want me to do? I use an example. There's some folks that are running around so much, trying to be everything in the church, trying to be everything, and not allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to them. Therefore, nothing gets done because they're not doing what God wants to do. They're doing what they think God wants them to do. And it's not supposed to be that way. You are to do what God wants you to do. That's what he says, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Can I ask you this morning that you go after God and say, God, what have you ordained for me? Show me what it is that you would have me to do. Because let me just say this to you. I'm not trying to get you to go and come to work in the house, even though we do like people to come to work. Is that right, Pastor John? Pastor Pat, where are you? Yeah, we do like people working in the house. I'm not trying to get you to do that. I am asking you to do what God has asked you to do. That's all. That's all I'm at. Is that a light load? That doesn't put any burden on you at all. There's no heaviness because God has designed you for what he's given you to do. So why would you think that it might be heavy for you? You might even find out that it's the best thing you ever stepped in all your life because he's ordained it for you. He's given it to you. He's directing you into it. And we're trying to run around and do all these things where God is saying, let me be the director. Let my spirit run you. Let my spirit run you to where you need to go. And you'll find that this is the way that the Lord has for you. Amen. If you will stand up, let's all stand. Hallelujah. The trigger is the church. I want to just say these two scriptures. Jesus told the Jews in John chapter 8:23, which is something that's kind of strange. He says, I am from above, is what he told them. And he tells them, you're from beneath. Woo, how many like people, God saying that to you? I'm from above, you are from beneath. And then when he's praying to his father in John chapter 17, he says, Father, I ask that you don't take them out of the world, but that you would, Father God, that you would bless them in the world. And then he says, for they are not of the world. How many of you know you're not of the world? How many of you know that the world has nothing to do with you? Or coronavirus. Thank you. The coronavirus. I'm thinking of corona from the road here. No, I'm just. Anyway, the coronavirus. That has nothing to do with you. Can I say that to you one more time? That virus has nothing to do with you. Do you know that it has a 14-day? I don't even want to say this to you, but it takes 14 days for it to show up in somebody's life. For 14 days, they can be leading it around, they can be giving it to other people for 14 days because it takes 14 days for that thing to show up in their life. Can I tell you something? That's not you. It has nothing to do with you. Nothing to fear. There is nothing to fear. Because you are not of the world. You are of the kingdom. You are the workmanship of Jesus Christ. Do you imagine? Do you hear that? Do you hear it? That's what God is saying to them. Know this, that he has something very, very definite for you. Some of you are singers. You don't even know it. Some of you think you're singers. You don't know it. No, I'm just kidding. I thought I'd throw that in. No. Some of you are musicians. Some of you are teachers. Some of you are prophets. You don't even know. But this church is here to bring those things out of you. That's why we're here. To allow you the freedom in the Holy Ghost to do what God is asking you to do. That's why we're here. Amen. 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 I'm going to pray real quick for you. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, I pray for my brothers and my sisters, Lord. We are, your word says, Father God, we are finely fitted one upon another, next to each other, that we could all draw from what that person has, Father. I'm asking you, Father, by your Holy Spirit, open up those doors into the body of Christ that they might know exactly what you have for them today. Today, Lord. We worry not about tomorrow, but today is the day we will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day you've made, Lord. So we thank you for it, God. I ask this in Jesus' name. Bless my brothers and my sisters. Cause your light to shine upon them, Father. Thank you, Lord. Hold on just a minute. I feel the Lord wanting me to read something. 67. God be merciful to us and bless us. Cause his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon the earth, that your saving health is among all the nations. Amen. Amen. Your saving health. Father, thank you for all you've done for us this morning. We give you praise and glory and honor. Bless my brothers and sisters as they go out. Make them the head and not the tail. Place them above and not beneath. Cause them to be a light in a dark place. Cause rivers of living water to flow from their vessels into the streets and into the city that we dwell in, God. We thank you for it. We praise you for it in Jesus' name. If you agree, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.